This is Steve Weatherford, Super Bowl champion, 10-year NFL veteran, entrepreneur, husband, and loving father of five. And welcome to the Steve Weatherford Show, the secrets to a high performance life. This podcast is for the hungry. It's for the dedicated. It's for the dreamers that want to take that dream and live that everyday reality. This is not your average podcast. If you are ready to peel back the layers of your pride and your ego and level up your life, then get locked and loaded as we peel back the curtain and help you decode the secrets to a high performance life. All right, guys, I wanted to give a big shout out to our show sponsor, which is Pure Spectrum CBD. And really, my journey of CBD started a little bit over a year ago in 2019. And I wasn't real sure which CBD company to use. I'd read enough studies that had told me and proven that its focus, pain management and inflammation, that CBD really does an incredible job with that. And so over the course of 2019, I tried a lot of different CBD companies and I tracked my biometrics with my Whoop band. Now, based upon all of 2019, I tried seven different companies. My biometrics were best with Pure Spectrum, and that's the sponsor of the show. And so I actually reached out to him. I said, hey, man, I love your CBD, and based upon my biometrics, man, it's the best one out there. And so what it is, it's high dose CBD oil that I put underneath my tongue. Before I go to sleep, I put two droppers of 2500 Black Label, and it has increased my deep REM, and I have metrics to prove it, 28%. So just think about if you got 28% more rest every night, how much your pain would go down, how much your inflammation would go down, and how much your focus and your energy would go up. So if you want to give Pure Spectrum CBD a try, if you go over to their website, purespectrumcbd.com, and it's also in the show notes, use code Weatherford. They'll give you a discount, and they are also the U.S. Olympic sponsor, so that's got to make you buy with confidence as well. So I hope you guys appreciate that, and enjoy the show.
Come on, girl. Yeah. It's me, Jackie Moon. That's right. Yeah, we're coming to you from Carlsbad, California. I'm talking rainforest sweaty. I'm talking right out of Crunch Fitness sweaty. Oh, man, I hit big lats and biceps today. Name that movie. Actually, I should probably just name that movie so we don't get copyrighted. That indeed was from the movie Semi-Pro, if anybody's seen it out there, with Will Ferrell.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the song track titled Love Me Sexy by Jackie Moon. And I am sitting in the Beaver's Den. I know that sounds weird, but the couch that I am sitting on in this exact moment is in Carlsbad, California. I am sitting next to a man whose name is Beaver. So this is his den, and this is where we are. He happens to be a pro skateboarder. He's on the Nitro Circus. Let me just read his bio from the book that he wrote. Beaver Fleming is a professional skateboarder from Knoxville, Tennessee, living in Carlsbad, California. Beaver travels all over the world skateboarding and competing at a pro level while speaking encouragement to schools and youth groups. Live, which is the book that he wrote, was written to inspire people to get clear on what they want in their life, what they want their life to look like, and how to customize their future to embrace the gift that life is. So without further ado, this guy goes to my church. I've prayed with him many, many mornings at 5:30 a.m. He actually lived with King Connor, and King Connor's joining us. I know you guys can't see him, so I should probably mention that as well. But we're going to have fun today, man, because this is one of King Connor's best friends, and King Connor's just really kind of come into our family and become a part of the DNA of who we are. So I know he should be more heavily involved in asking questions, and I know everybody loves him as well. So with that being said, Beaver, welcome to the show.
You stoked to have you guys out here. This has been such a blessing getting into this new spot, so I'm honored to host you guys and just get to enjoy life and have a fun conversation and impact some people.
Come on, man. Let's do it. Well, with that being said, I want to get into Beaver's story. I want to get into like the craziness of the times that we're in right now. But before we do that, man, I want to invite the Holy Spirit to be with us. So bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, man, just be with us right now, Father. Just be with us and love us and show us and guide us and use us. So thank you for the platform that you've given us. Thank you for the fruitful conversation that is about to be had and the conversations and the practical, tactical ways that the listeners can take the wisdom and the experience from Beaver's life and from King Connor's life and from my life and make it their own and craft the future that they want to live serving you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Woo. All right. So so Beaver goes to our church out here in Awake, and we don't actually normally get to see him quite as much because he's traveling all over the world, and I actually get like updates on how he's doing just by following him on Instagram. So he's got a great Instagram page. He posts not just like amazing skateboard backflips, which is amazing, and I want to honor and celebrate that, but he really does a great job, Connor, in leveraging his platforms to not just get people better at skateboarding. He wants each person individually to figure like, what is the skateboarding thing in their life? Like, what is the thing that like makes their heart sing?
Yeah.
And he encourages people like strategically. He has like a Monday motivation, and then he has like a Thursday thunder, I think it's called. And I just think that's really awesome. So tell me what the experience was like living with him, because I know a lot of the weird stuff he tried to get you into, like Wim Hof breathing and a lot of that weirdo stuff that you always thought he was.
I made
like,
fun of him.
Yeah, you made fun of him. And now Connor and I actually host events for Upgrade Your Human, and that's like main thing that we love to do now. So I don't know, man. Talk about what that's been like.
No, Beaver's an amazing guy. I've got to know him pretty well, and he's one of my closest friends for about probably the last 3 or so years now. And we lived together for about a year and a couple months, and he's the type of guy that wants to push you to do anything that you don't think you can do. And actually, kind of a funny story, we were over up at Woodward West in Bakersfield area, and he's like, I want you to do a backflip on a BMX bike. I'm like, a backflip? You think I can do it? He's like, yeah, just go for it. I know you do it. All you got to do is just pull. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. So I went down this ramp, and it was the biggest fail that you have ever seen into a foam pit, but I didn't give up. He taught me how to do it onto a resi landing, and I was able to do a backflip on a BMX bike, and that was so amazing. So Beaver is just an incredible guy to hang around because he's the type of guy that's going to encourage you to push the limits on life and actually, like, he wants to encourage other people that there's more in the tank than what we think. And a lot of people put ceilings and limits on their life, but when you spend time with Beaver, you're going to bust through all those ceilings, bust through all those limits that we put on ourselves. So I love this guy. He's an amazing man, such an amazing friend and an amazing encourager. And he's impacting so many lives, not only in the U.S., but around the world by what he's doing, not just skating, but speaking truth and speaking life into other people's lives. So I'm so blessed and fortunate to call you friend. And I know today is going to be an amazing morning.
Man, well, thank you guys. I'm stoked and honored to hear that. I think that's just one of the qualities that I ended up developing kind of from experiencing it in my own life. You know, where I grew up, skateboarding wasn't popular. I was one of only a few people that skated at my high school, but I knew I had a dream for so much more. And I've just been so blessed to truly live out beyond what I ever thought as a kid that I want to encourage others. Like, if it worked in my life, it can work in yours, and just lead them and show them by example. Like, for instance, that trip up to Woodward, Connor had no idea he could do a backflip on a bike. And to be honest, it's just, are you willing to commit to it? Are you willing to trust it? It's not that difficult. And so able to help coach him through that, push him out of his comfort zone a little bit. Yeah, it's going to be a little scary. Yeah, you're not sure how it's going to go. But if you can commit to see it through, you're going to end up being successful in whatever it is that you do. And so, again, that's just a truth I learned at a young age. And now I'm like, man, how can I share that with more people and encourage more people, not only just to survive in life, but actually to live this gift?
Amazing.
He's got a really, as you might expect, this is, hey, by the way, everybody listen to this. This is the second time we've done this podcast. So some of the notes, I think you guys probably thought, man, that was probably the smoothest intro Steve's ever done. Well, I just, full disclosure, guys, the second time I've introed Beaver because the memory card was full last time. So this is the part where I want to get into the relationship that you have with fear. Because you go and look at your Instagram, and dude, he's dropping down
dude, 100 feet in the air and just dropping down into these half pipes and doing all these crazy backflips, traveling all over the world. Your relationship with fear, I would love for you to talk about that and how you have kind of showcased overcoming fear to inspire other people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think fear, like you said, it's a relationship. You know, we have we were created for relationships at the core of everything. So it's like if our relationship with God's good, every other relationship out of the overflow of that will flourish. But also in our lives, we do have relationship with different things, and fear is a huge one because fear is either going to hold you back or propel you forward. And you've got to either use it as a blocker or a propeller. And so that's the biggest thing. It's like fear is either going to use and manipulate you, or you're going to use and manipulate it to help you succeed in your life. And so dissecting and being aware of what you're actually afraid of, and then figuring out, okay, one, it's not as scary as I initially thought it would be. And two, now I know the strategy I can implement to overcome this fear and be successful. And I always think of it like this, you know, it's like taking a staircase. If you're afraid of heights, just go up one stair at a time and look over the ledge. You're not going to be that scared. All of a sudden you're going to be 30 feet in the air. And you're like, man, because I looked at it and dissected it into one little step, it's really not as bad as I built it up to be in my head. And so that's like with skating, you know, the thing skating taught me at a young age was cause and effect. It taught me that if I'm diligent, if I work, if I put my time in, I'm going to be able to reap the reward of landing a trick and gaining consistency in my craft. And so that was just kind of a spiritual lesson it taught me. And then I was able to use that in any other aspect because, as most people know, skateboarding is not easy. You know, you can't just step on a skateboard and learn to kickflip your first day. It takes time to figure out how the board moves, how the board operates, and how to position yourself, how to balance, and how to figure out how to flick. So there's a lot of technical things that go into it that, you know, really help you become aware of what it takes to see it through. And it really develops just a level of commitment like no other, because sometimes you're going to try a trick 100 times and you may only land it once, but you've got to be willing to try those 100 in order to succeed once. And I think you can take that to anything in life.
Well, that's your relationship with fear, but you're from Knoxville, Tennessee, not necessarily like the hotbed for kicking out pro skateboarders.
Right. Yeah.
And I know this is the second time we've done the podcast, and we talked about last time, like when you first started skateboarding, everybody wanted you to come to football games on Friday nights.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, you know, you decided after playing Tony Hawk's skateboarding games that, like, man, dude, I have so much fun playing this video game. I want to go try this and see if I can do this in real life. So talk to us about what that was like, because I know what it was like for me when I picked a dream that was so big.
Yeah.
And when you described to me how you overcome fear and describing it, like, just go up one step at a time and it's then beautiful. Look over the ledge. It's not that bad. Then go one more step. I did the same thing as an athlete, but the difference between my pursuit and your pursuit, and I'm just curious, did you have teammates? Because every step that I was on, I had teammates, you know, and I feel like the road that you took was way more arduous than mine, because I believe I draw a lot of power from relationship, and I give a lot of motivation and inspiration and encouragement to relationships. But I feel like when I do that, I get energy, but also my friends are also encouragers. So what was that like? Not having a coach, because I also had a coach too.
Yeah.
So I had mentorship and I had support. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you had a coach, but I'm sure you didn't have like skating teammates that like, hey, we're going to meet here at 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. Don't be late.
Yeah. Right.
Like there's no organization to it as well. So I'm genuinely very curious how you stay motivated, how you overcame adversity, because you didn't have that, the built-in installed support brotherhood.
Yeah, it was a lot of self-accountability, and I don't know if I was aware at the time, but I knew from a young age. I mean, I started skating when I was like 9 or 10, again, from the Tony Hawk game. My brother played it, and I was like, man, that looks epic. So I've been pretty much on a board ever since, and it was really just figuring out, like, all right, man, this is incredible. Like, I want to see where I can go with this. And I really didn't have a lot of accountability in it. I had like 3 or 4 friends that skated at school, and then had a group of friends that would skate. But it was kind of like we'd show up at the park on Saturday at like 10 a.m. And they would, you know, skate for maybe 30 minutes and then go over, skate to the store and get some snacks and stuff. But I would skate from like 10 till like 6 p.m. I would just be so focused and hobby. So disciplined. It was a hobby, but it was just an obsession.
Yeah, what made it an obsession? Because what I'm hearing you say is like,
they came to come hang out and then go eat gummy bears and pick their butt.
Yeah.
But like to you,
oh yeah.
Looking at like how you are and like what's important to you in your life.
Yeah.
Because I know skaters and I never really like disliked skaters in high school or in college or anything. But I never found them to be something attractive as a friend because I feel like a lot of people went into skating because it was a counterculture and they were like, oh, I'm not an athlete or a football player, so then I'm going to go over here and do this. And like half of the skaters couldn't even really do much on a board, but they just wanted to hang out with a clique and a group.
Yeah.
But I don't experience you like that at all. And then when you say a story like, well, then they would go get, you know, snacks and I would stay there and master my craft. What made mastering the craft more exciting than being a part of a group?
Yeah, I think for me, there's one no right or wrong way to skate, and you can take it as far as you want to. So there's really no limit except the one that you put on it, and that's really just a manifestation of what life is. You know, we can really take it as far as we want to take it, or we can settle somewhere. And for me, I just loved learning a new trick. I loved seeing something someone had done, and then I also loved, and I've invented a lot of tricks that no one's ever done, because I love seeing, all right, I wonder if this is possible. No one's ever tried it yet, but I want to see if we can figure this out and if this thing is possible, because that's the beauty in it. You can never master the whole sport. If you master the mega ramp, there's still a crazy stair rail that you might never want to hit. So it's like picking and choosing your battles. But from that young age as a kid, I just got so obsessed and hungry with progressing and learning. Like I'd go to the skate park with an intention like, all right, I want to do this rail today. I want to do this jump today. I want to learn this trick today. And just that's the beauty again, is like you try something 100 times, maybe you land it once or twice, and then you get it on film, go home and study the tape, and then get it down to where you can do it every try.
It sounds like it's very intrinsic. Meaning like I remember when I achieved or like did 225 for the you know, when I bench pressed 225 for the first time. By the way, shout out to King Connor, because he just hit his goal of 225 pounds max bench 2 days ago. So I'll make sure we mention that. But the point to mentioning that is achieving those things when I was younger was really awesome and they felt really good to me, but I always felt the sense of like I wanted to achieve this so I could like go show my dad or so my friends would see it. But I'm not sensing that or like really hearing that from you.
Yeah.
It was almost like I want to go home and watch the film so I can get better at it.
Right.
So
yeah.
It doesn't sound like you were extrinsically motivated as a kid and this was like an internal thing for you.
Yeah, it was interesting, and I think what it was I always loved the idea of being an athlete. I love the dedication, the commitment, and the devotion to a craft to really excel in something. And I love the idea of carrying yourself as a professional. And so again, a lot of people just didn't understand it. My parents didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. And it came to the point where I was at a soccer meet and getting ready to play, and we're staying at a hotel, me and my dad, and there was an empty pool, and he told me I couldn't bring my board. And I don't even know if the pool is skatable, but in that moment I was like, all right, screw this. I don't even want to do the game. I just want to skate this pool.
Come on.
I'm done playing soccer. And so that was my last game. And then I just committed fully to skating, and they built a ramp in my backyard, but they didn't know a lot about it. So it wasn't like I could show my dad, hey, check out this cool thing I did. But I, again, was so influenced by X Games and Tony Hawk Pro Skater that I'm like, man, I want to be a professional skateboarder. I knew in my mind, I saw it in my mind. And so then I was like, well, if I want to do that, I've got to do this. And so again, I had an 8-foot half pipe in my backyard. Most of my friends wouldn't even drop in on it. And so I would mostly skate every single day by myself. My mom would literally, we had a back porch, the ramp was down at the other side. And so she'd literally ring a dinner bell and like yell at me to come up and eat dinner to be with family, because I would just be there from the moment I got home from school to the moment dinner was. And then if it was still light out the summertime, I'd go back out after dinner. And it was just a weird thing, but
that is weird.
Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, like if my son, sorry to interrupt, but if my son came up to me and said, Dad, I want to go pro and being a cornhole player.
Yeah.
You know what
that's
I mean?
What like, it was.
And that's actually, honestly, going pro in cornhole is a whole lot more feasible because it's on TV and they do have pro cornhole players than skateboard. I'm just wondering, like, I'm trying to figure out something. If my son came up to me and said, I wanted to go pro in this.
Yeah.
Like, if I would like to think that I could support it the way that your parents supported it, but Was it really hard for your parents to support something that they only saw as something that like people smoked weed and like got tattoos?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. Because that was the culture there.
Had to be tough
there
for them, right? Because your parents are from Knoxville, and I'm assuming that they're just like good old Midwest type people, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's that Southern hospitality that and like just it's. I feel like it's 20 years behind in a way. So it's when skateboarding
in a
like,
good way though.
In a good way, in a great way. It's slow paced and it's beautiful. I love going back there. I now vacation there because it just brings
this
that
is
home.
Too fast,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. So it just slows you down and grounds you. But you know, they supported me. They loved me so much. Like I said, like my dad built that ramp in the backyard, even though he didn't know how to do it. He hired guys to come in and build it. And then, you know, they got a lot of backlash from friends' parents. Like
that's
saying,
what I was gonna say. Like that's got to be hard for them because they. Other parents are going to be saying to them, like, why are you supporting something that, like, all they do is, like, smoke weed and get chased out of, like, parks?
Yeah. And so I think that was a thing in me as well. I was like, I knew there was so much more in it that I wanted to kind of disrupt the culture of it. Yeah. I didn't want people to see skateboarders in that light, in a negative light. Yeah. I'm like, I want to transcend this and make it something positive and make it something powerful. And skateboarding actually, as crazy as this sounds, kept me grounded to not drink or do drugs in high school. Because like I said, those friends that we would go to the skate park early in the morning from eating gummy bears and dicking around, it turned into smoking weed and getting drunk and like going into that thing. And I'm like, if I want to be committed to this, like there's really never been pro skaters out of this town or out of Tennessee, and I want to live in California and pursue this thing, I've got to say no to these things right now so I can say yes to the future that I believe and see.
It sounds like when he says that, Arnold Schwarzenegger popped into my mind because that's what Arnold did. Mm-hmm. Arnold like just came to America with the dream of pursuing bodybuilding. And bodybuilding wasn't even like really a thing then. Kind of like when you were pursuing skateboarding, like it was kind of a thing because there was Tony Hawk, but you left everything from Tennessee to come to California. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what Arnold did. Arnold left everything to come to California because he wanted to be a Hollywood actor. He wanted to be a bodybuilder. Yeah. He wanted to be a governor. He wanted to be all these different things. So, man, that's just cool. What was that conversation like with your parents of, hey, I'm leaving now. I'm going to California. I'm following this dream.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, they were always super supportive, and I think it's powerful because I do want to hit on the trueness of a relationship with God, because actually the church I grew up in, God bless them, but that was the place I was most discouraged and told to be realistic. Mm. But I'm reading the word for myself, and it's saying, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond anything you could ask or imagine, you know, like verses like that, and I'm reading that, but I'm being told to limit myself. I'm being told to put a ceiling on my life, and I'm like, there's just no congruency here. So thank God I had that relationship, and I had parents that prayed and believed as well, and just like great leadership from them. And so when I was moving to California, I was 17 at the time, and that's when it went for me from being a Sunday, Wednesday church thing to, all right, God, I'm leaving behind everything that's comfortable. I'm leaving behind everything I know, my family, my friends, like so much comfort, on a hope and a prayer and a dream. Mm-hmm. I've got to do this thing with you. And so that's when I started developing that relationship with God on my own, getting into prayer on my own, and just really seeking him and trusting him in it. And I mean, his word is so true, because my life is truly beyond anything I could have ever asked or imagined. You know, I travel the world with the Nitro Circus. I compete at the X Games. I live a half a mile from the beach in Southern California. It's truly just beyond anything I would have told myself when I was 14. I would have been like, you're crazy. There's no way. But you know, it's that day in and day out diligence and the doing of the deed that's just accelerating you, you know, step by step, each and every day, it's paving the way for us. And I love, again, how it talks about in Proverbs, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. So what does that mean? Committing and consecrating that thing to God, you know. I love, again, the parable of the talents. It's like, they multiply their talents, but the master just goes away. He doesn't tell them how to do it. He just cares that they do it. So again, whatever it is that you want to do, for me, it was skateboarding. I wanted to develop that thing, and then it multiplied because I was being faithful with it. I was being faithful to go to the skate park and not dick around, but actually sit there and work on a trick, figure out that trick, and get that trick dialed in to where now I can do those tricks and compete at the top level.
It's amazing. And I love your story too, because you talk about how this was a dream of yours, and now you're actually living it out. And so many people in life have this dream but can't actually walk it out and overcome it. And it's talking about, like, there is naysayers in your life that you can't do it, but you're like, I'm going to believe in myself.
Yeah.
And that was the most powerful thing I've noticed in you, is you don't worry what the exterior people say. You worry about what God's telling you and what you believe on the inside of your heart. And I know, because you've had that dedication and you had that thought process, that you're now able to – be very successful in the skating industry, but not only doing that, but speaking around the world, impacting kids' life, not just young teenagers, but other adults, and just leaving a legacy for so many incredible people. But I wanted to hit on this real quick, because I know it's, I think it's what kind of sparked you to write this book, Live, was you went through an injury a little bit earlier in your life, and you had to persevere through it. And with having a dream and having a vision, it's not always going to be sunshine and rainbows. Like, there's going to be obstacles that you have to go through. But some people give up when those obstacles come because they don't want to put in the work, or it's too difficult, or it's too hard. But what I love about you and what makes really an awesome person and a successful person is they don't give up when hard things come against them. They see that hard thing, but they keep on going. So maybe talk about the perseverance thing of of your life and going through that injury.
Absolutely. And what I would say to that is, like, write your own definition of success. There's no right or wrong definition of it. It's unique for every single person. But the thing that success has, there's two C's right in the middle. And those two C's are confidence and commitment. Those two C's intertwine that word. You have to be confident in who you are and what your dream is and that you're going to be able to achieve it. And then you have to be committed day in and day out. No matter what obstacle comes your way, you're willing to just continue to persevere. Again, going back to the word, it talks about in James that the testing of your faith produces perseverance.
Come on.
And for me, a couple years ago, I always pray to God for a word. And that year, that word was live. Learn, inquire, visualize, execute. So I had that written down. I was reading and praying over it every day. But I also write down five qualities that I want to develop a new level of in my life. And that year, it was perseverance. So at first, when the injury happened, I went into that shock. And I went into that, like, dang it, what the heck? Like, you're kidding me. It's a day before our first Nitro Circus show. It's the first year I'm invited to X Games. And all of a sudden, boom. Next 6 months, I'm on the recovery program. And I'm like, well, if this isn't an opportunity for me to develop some perseverance and have my faith tested, then let's go all in and figure this thing out. And so obviously at first I was super bummed, praying for that miraculous healing that I know God can do, but it didn't work out that way. But I realized it wasn't just, you know, something that happened to me. It was something that happened for me and that I could help other people through it as well. So rather than go into the shadows and go into a dark place, I was real with my struggles. I was real with my pain. I was real with the frustrations. And, you know, I'm not going to diminish it, whatever you're going through. There's definitely the reality and, like, the fears and the doubts all creep in there. The first 2 weeks, you can't walk. You have to be on crutches. And literally remember the first day I was able to lift my leg off a table. And, like, those thoughts are going through your head. Like, I can't even walk right now. Am I ever going to be able to skate again? Am I ever going to be able to be at that level again? And so you just have to have that belief so deep in yourself, that confidence, and that's going to persuade you to put in that commitment day in and day out, to be diligent in your rehab, to be diligent to see everything through and give it the honor and respect it deserves. And so with whatever that is in your life, just respect and honor it and develop your gifts, and they'll pave a way for you.
Is Beaver super disciplined?
Very disciplined. like we were talking about earlier, when I used to live with Beaver, he had this morning routine of, like, waking up and going and drinking a glass of water first thing and doing his breathing exercises and doing stretching. And yes, I made fun of him. I'm like, man, what are you doing? Like, yeah, that's amazing to do, but I didn't understand the greater level of how he was doing it. And then I see him now in life, like, everything that he's doing, he's super disciplined, super dedicated, and super focused. And I know why, because he puts in the work when no one's looking. And then on the other side, like, he's elevated in areas, getting to do professional skateboarding, getting to do all these speaking engagements. But I firmly believe that it's because he's very disciplined on all these small things. And when you're disciplined on the small, like, talks about in the Bible, be faithful with what is least, and God can trust you with what is much.
Yeah.
And so it's like, man, if you can be faithful in the secret, disciplined in the secret, I know that you're going to be rewarded and elevated publicly in front of other people.
Absolutely. Yeah, and to get back into it with the book, like, that's the thing. It's like, again, commit whatever you do to the Lord and your plans will succeed. It doesn't matter what it is. It's like, again, being faithful with little. What's that little in your life that you can be faithful with? Is it relationships? Are you being faithful to your spouse or significant other? Are you being faithful to your kids? Are you being faithful to your friends? Because if you're faithful with those, you're going to have better friends. You're going to have a better relationship. It's just going to add so much more value to the relationship as a whole. And so that's where God can trust you. It's these spiritual laws laws he puts in place. That's, again, reaping and sowing. You plant that seed, something's going to grow. But be aware of what seeds you're planting and what soil you're planting them into to see the harvest that you want in your life. And again, that's why I wrote this book. It's really just to get clear on what you want and then figure out the steps to get there. So how do you learn? What do you want to learn? What do you want to inquire on? What do you want to know the deep questions on? How can you visualize? Because if you can see it in your mind, you can achieve it in your life. That's and right. Then execute it day in and day out. That execution is so critical.
What do you struggle with?
What do I struggle with? Mm. I think I struggle with, at times, this is a good question, distraction, to be honest. But I think in this quarantine time, it's really settled me down to where I'm not moving as fast so that I'm able to be more grounded, turn my phone on airplane mode more, not have a TV in the house, just really practical things I could set up to just really reground myself and connect to the present moment. Because when you are present in the moment, you become connected to that moment, and then be present with people so I can connect deeper to people, be present with God to connect deeper to God.
That's good. What about you, King Connor? What are you
My biggest struggle recently, it's been how people view me and what people think of me. And so much of my life, I talked about it in previous podcasts, like my greatest fear was public speaking or speaking in front of other people, because I didn't really think that I could add value or be impactful in other people's lives. So I started to have this stigma and this thought process that, like, man, I don't have value. I am not worthy. I'm not all these different things. And so that kind of just shifted, man, I'm going to be different around this person and then different around this person. And so growing up, I never found out who God actually created me to be, because I was trying to be like so many different other people. I liked how this person talked to that person, how that person was in that friend group. But at the end of the day, it kind of got draining, because I'm trying to be so many different people to please so many different people, that I was all over the place and didn't even know who I was. Mm. And then I had a radical encounter with God at a high school summer camp in 2015. And ever since that moment, it completely changed my life, where now I'm like, you know what? I was created in the image of God. I'm going to be who he created me to be and not worry about what people think about me, not worry about how I live my life. But I'm going to set a good example and be true to who I am. And I know if I'm true to who I am, other people are going to know and want to be attracted to what I say and how I live my life, because it's exactly who I am. I'm not trying to be like anyone else. I'm not trying to be like Steve. I'm not trying to be like Beaver. But if I can be me, I know God's happy with that. And so that's what I love about Beaver is, man, he's got high energy. He's all about just going out there and taking risks and not worrying about what other people are going to say about him. But he's found who God has created him to be. He's found, like, when you're playing basketball, I played basketball in high school, like, you just get into this flow of, like, man, it seems like nobody else is on the basketball court. Like, it's just you just draining shot, draining shot. And I feel like Beaver's found his rhythm and found his flow in his life, because he's not trying to be like a Travis Pastrana or like a Tony Hawk or trying to be like all these other influencers in his world. He knows that he was created by God for a reason, and he's going to use those unique abilities that God has deposited on the inside of him to do what God has called him to do.
That's good, dude. And one thing I wrote down that you, when you were talking just now, King Kong, that was awesome, is being who you're supposed to be and or like being who God created you to be. And that was something that always personally that I struggled with, because when I'm like, I'm being who God wants me to be, I'm like, and I looked in the mirror and I was like skinny and I wanted to be muscular. Right. I was slower than I wanted to be. I would, you know, I was all these different things. I'm like, I'm not who God created me to be. And so I just want to attach something onto what you just said is, I'm going to be who God created me to be in this season.
That's good. Yeah.
And I think that's the thing I really want people to hear right now. Really, it's something that I struggled with because there's seasons of life. You know, there are seasons of, like, I believe the season that Connor's in right now, and he'll probably stay there, but there will be things will shift in his life where people will start to serve him, but he is just in a massive season of serving people in his life. And through that, God is putting him, you know, it says in scripture that God will put you before kings right. and not obscure men. And, right. and I, that's what I believe God is doing in his life. And,
yeah.
you know, myself and all the other men that are in his life are just men that just are sowing into him to accelerate yeah. mm-hmm. who he's supposed to be. So what he's saying is like, I am made yeah. in the image of God. I'm exactly what I'm supposed to be
yeah.
in this season. And I think that's something that encourages me because that reminds me
yeah.
that this is a process.
Mm.
And so the tricks that you were working on when you were 17 are not the same tricks that you're working on when you're
right.
27. Now, foundationally and fundamentally, you'll never forget those and never stop practicing them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not something that requires of you. And now the battle that you're on right now is focus
yeah.
and eliminating broken focus. And
yeah.
so for me, I asked you guys, what are you guys struggling with? So I'll just share what I'm struggling with is trying to be too much for too many people to get them to where they want to go.
Mm.
You know, being like, I imagine like, you know, you're out in the ocean and I am believing to be more like a lighthouse, more founded, always on, always operational, always consistent, always planted. And I believe I can get caught up in being like the Coast Guard where mm-hmm. somebody's in help and I'll drive this super
yeah.
high performance boat out there to go save this one person
yeah.
or these three people or this one person. And I'm pinballing myself all over the place instead of just being, you know, kind of like you were saying, being more in the present moment,
mm-hmm.
which will allow me to be more in the presence of God, which will allow who I am to influence, not mm-hmm. just what I do
right.
to influence. So with that being said, man, I did want to take a few minutes to talk about this book that literally you just came out. We've been on my Instagram
yeah.
story to talk about it before. It's called Live. Live,
yep.
Inquire, Visualize, and Execute. And on the back of the book, it says Live was written to inspire people to get clear
mm-hmm.
on what they want in their what they want their life to look like and how to customize their future, embrace the gift that life is. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest thing that you guys just hit on is if you can't be true to yourself, you can't be true to anybody.
Right.
So you got to know who it is that you are. And that's going to require time of self-reflection. You know, in our distracted day and age, it's easy to kind of like go mask it with getting on social media or going to another place. And right now places are closed. So it's like reflect on yourself. Be real with yourself. Recognize where you are and also recognize who you are not. Like, let's start there. Figure out what qualities do I not want in my life? Where
good.
Am I divided? You know, because in James, again, it talks about a double-minded man unstable in all his ways. If we're divided in our mind and our actions aren't in line with our beliefs, we're only going to reap destruction and chaos on ourselves, severing us so much to where we forget who we are. I always think the more time you spend doing things to try and fit in, the more time you spend forgetting who you actually are. Because we try and wear these same clothes. We try and put those shoes on, but we don't even like those shoes. We want to wear Vans, but they've got Adidas. And it's like, all right, well, I'm going to wear Adidas, but I like Vans. And then one day you forget you like Vans. But
I like Crocs,
who you
bro.
Are. Whatever you are.
I just want to wear Crocs.
Exactly. That, and that's a beautiful thing because it's different. It's unique. And
it's comfortable.
Yeah, there you go. And so, like, again, as a kid, like, skateboarding, it wasn't popular where I was, but I wasn't going to let the fact that it wasn't culturally accepted where I was stop me from that dream that I had in my mind. So again, standing out in who you are so you can step into who you can be. And so for anyone that's looking for that right now, I would highly recommend because this is just going to help you get clear on what you want. You know, we have a notes page after every chapter and putting it into action plans. So I didn't want to just give someone a crazy book, and I don't even write about skating in it. It's got pictures of me skating and doing crazy stuff because I'm like, this isn't just about skateboarding. This is actually customizing your future personally. So it's a book within a book, and it's also able to have you write out your story, what you want your life to look like. Figure out who it is that you want to become, and then ask yourself, all right, how would that person wake up in the morning? How would they treat other people? What would they wear? How would they speak? How would they interact in daily life? When it comes to doing a task, how would they do that task? Would they be faithful and diligent in it, or would they be complacent in it? Because again, if you can find the joy in doing something as mundane, I talked about it last night, as washing dishes,
yeah.
the perspective shifted for me when I was like, man, I don't like washing dishes, but I'm like, hey, by washing this dish, I'm creating an opportunity for someone to enjoy a nice meal off this dish.
Yeah, cool.
So just figure out how to find the joy in whatever it is, that task that you're doing, and it's going to make life so much more fruitful, and it's going to help you to be aligned with, one, what are those things that just burn on the inside of you? What are those passions? What are those gifts? Figure out how you can develop and spark that thing and continue to fan that flame rather than diminish that thing by
That's
just
really
being
good.
Distracted and double-minded and figuring out how you can be accepted by people.
That's good. Connor, I think we got time for one more one more question for you. You have one of your best buddies on the podcast. You can freaking put him on the spot.
Uh-oh. I can ask him anything.
You can ask him
deepest,
anything.
Darkest secret. Here we go. No, I'm just kidding. No, one thing I love about Beaver is he's got this massive influence in the skating world. But I kind of – what I've seen is, like, skating is the vehicle for you to share and do what you actually want to do. And what I love about Beaver is he actually wants to pull the gold out of other people and empower other people and take people – we talked about it earlier, from me not believing I could do a backflip on a bike to actually being able to do it. So maybe talk about why do you love doing that? Why do you love – like taking the time where you could just be dedicated and focused on all the other things you're doing, but you have such a heart for other people and a heart to pull the gold out of the other people. And you actually want to see other people succeed. Like you're not afraid of people that you're pouring into to like stand on your shoulders and go further than you. Mm-hmm. And so that really is the fact that you have such a selfless heart and that you just really do have a heart for other people. So maybe talk about what that desire is that you want to develop and empower and impact so many other people.
Yeah, I think, again, it's just another spiritual truth that God puts in there. You know, it says, give and it shall be given unto you. Yeah. And I've received so much in my life. You know, again, if I would have told myself when I was 14 where I'm at right now, I would have been like, you're crazy. There's no way. And that's just how good God is. And I've experienced that in my life. So I just want to share that with so many other people because you just see such a joy. Like that video of you doing a flip from that first attempt in the foam pit going absolutely horrible, you barely being able to ride a BMX bike, to landing a backflip. There was just such a joy in your spirit because you just pushed yourself beyond what you thought you were capable of. You were able to remove and bust through a ceiling that you had in your life. And there's just something like literally miraculous about that. Yeah. And if I'm able to help people in that, it just puts such a joy and peace in my spirit because I know I'm doing what God's called me to do. God believes in us so much and deposits these different things in us. And we have the opportunity to help develop those in other people, be there for other people, meet them where we're at, but love them so much to help them find what's inside of them and pull it out for this beautiful world. We all have different gifts. We all have different talents, and we need people in our lives that are willing to not shame us, not guilt us, not tell us to settle, but actually empower us to be built up, encouraged, and go big beyond anything we could have ever dreamed.
Yeah, man, that's so good. And that's one thing that I believe for you is like something that is a gift that when before you were born, that was something that God like wrote on your heart, because I look at the leader that I am, but then I also look at all of the exposure to incredible leadership that I've had. And, you know, you were talking about like washing the dish and finding joy in that. There was a lot of my journey when I had great leadership and had great opportunities to ask questions and learn from them that I didn't take advantage of it because I didn't have the joy in washing the dish. Mm. I showed up because I had teammates, and those teammates drove me with accountability to show up. But you never had teammates breathing life into you and showing you how to lead and showing you how to encourage. And you probably didn't receive as much encouragement because people didn't honor what you were doing. Right. And so that's what leads me to believe that God placed this gift on you, because your ability to, like Connor was saying, is like pull the gold out of people, because when they're around you, they forget about all the dirt and the grime and the dust. And that's the only way that you can get gold out of people, is you believe so much in them and breathe so much faith into them that all of the things that they used to hang their hat on in regards to disqualifying themselves from trying something like a backflip on a BMX bike, you could disqualify yourself literally for an hour straight, but all it needed was 2 minutes with Beaver being like, yeah, dude, you just do it. Just go really hard, be committed, and freaking pull, you know, and that's it. And it just takes one person coming into your life to just believe so much in you that you forget about all of the other disqualifications. Mm. So just for everybody listening right now, man, I don't know who that Beaver is in your life. Mm. If you can find one, go be around him. But this is the real call to action for you. Mm. Be a Beaver, man.
Yeah.
Like, be a Beaver for somebody else. Maybe that's the title of this show, man. Go be a Beaver for people, man. Go help other people. This is what Zig Ziglar said. He said, if you help enough people get what they want, you'll get what you want.
Amen.
And exactly. I believe that's something that God pressed on your heart. And that's why all of the provision and the assignment of your life, and like we're in quarantine and a lot of people are wondering, myself too, like, hey, how do I flex my business to make sure that I'm serving people and supplying, you know, food for my family? And that's what God's doing for you, man. There's provision in this assignment, man, because you're always seeking first his face. So with that being said, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us? And then I want you to tell everybody where to go on Instagram. We'll put that in the show notes, and I'll also put a link for people to go to your website to get a copy of Live.
Absolutely, man. No, I think this was amazing. I just want to thank you for the opportunity and just the honor it is and blessing it is to even know you, man. You're just such a powerhouse and doing so many incredible things for people and the kingdom. And Connor, you're a freaking boss. Love you. Love everything that you're stepping into and that you haven't changed at all to that core of who you are and your truest self. So just be encouraged in that. And to anyone listening, I just want to again encourage you to stand out in who you are so you can step into who you can be. Check me out at Beaver Fleming and go to beaverfleming.com to order your book. And we love you guys. Hope to hear how this encourages you, and stay blessed.
Stay encouraged, man. We'll see you guys next week. King Connor, anything else?
That's it. Have a great week, guys.
All right, guys. If you guys want to go check out that CBD, the sponsor of our show, go to purespectrumcbd.com. Use code Weatherford. We'll see you next week.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to another episode of the Steve Weatherford Show. And I couldn't be more excited to build on what I've done in my life, to share my experiences with some of the most amazing people, to give you the mindsets and the actionable steps to level up your life and live a high performance lifestyle. Now, if this episode impacted you, there are a few things I need you guys to do right now that would be a massive support to us. First, we need you to subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or wherever you listen to it. And we wanna make sure that you're getting every single episode as soon as it drops. Second, I need you to join the movement over at weatherford5.com/podcast, where you can get the show notes and links to everything else on the episode. And lastly, tag me on Instagram with your key takeaway, as I'll be checking every single post. I'll talk to you guys next time. And for now, keep living a high performance life.